me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Welcome to another episode of the Arkham Case Files. I'm Darren.
And I'm Jason.
I'm Ian.
I'm Chris.
And we're here for another round of talking about another crew. And this time we're going to be having a look at Batman's iconic nemesis, the Clown Prince of Crime himself, the Joker. And I think it's fair to say that when we had our initial impressions of the Joker coming out, with him being one of the first two crews to get a deck, we might have slightly underestimated him a little bit. What would you guys say?
Just the more game time, realizing how quick he actually can score those cards and how difficult it is for other crews.
Yeah,
I underestimated no one.
So I completely underestimated him. I thought, just looking at the overall point value that his deck could score, I felt like something was off and he was just not as good. But I've turned around. I'm seeing that not only does his deck score very easy, but it also gets in the way of an opponent scoring, so he kind of just brings the total points of the game a little bit lower.
I don't know if I'd quite say it that way, because he will score almost max points, and that's consistently, I would say, high 30s, at least every time I play him and I've seen him play him and discourse miniatures for TTS. Just it being that easy, and other crews are having a hard time, you know, getting up to that low 40s.
Yeah,
and the capability for sure. But...
And with his new Psychopass card, that's potentially 9 more points in the deck. I don't know. I'm thinking he's back up to like a true top tier.
So, yeah. What sort of style does the Joker play on the table? How would you summarize him, Chris? What do you think on that?
Just fast and loose. I think he's good for starting or players starting off, but I don't think he's the best to teach a player good habits in the game. Just with the whole trickster, the chaos agent, not having the place, the audacity, it's not as bad as it used to be with the whole token allocation. So a person jumping in, they don't get a good definition of the way the audacity counters work, but his deck works phenomenally well. It really starts to teach a player to burn through resources quickly, to be able to play the objective cards very fast, cycling the deck. I still think he's a good introductory. And yeah, that fast and loose, where I've had a few demo games where either I'm playing an opponent or I got two of my buddies that are playing, and one guy gets kind of salty when he's playing against Joker because he's just seeing the amount of objective cards that are getting played out there. And he's like, this guy's already scored 5 cards to my 2. But then when you add up the points, they're about the same. And that's kind of how he is. He's burning through that deck really fast, like Jason said.
It's the complete opposite of OC.
Yeah. I mean, this is why I took him to the last TTS, or the first TTS tournament we had. I expected him to do well because of his... He can go through his cards real fast. He can score early and continue. Basically, he can score all of his cards, most of his cards in the first 2-3 turns, and then do that switch to stopping the opponent from scoring. He has enough stuff to do both sides really well.
So you touched on the issue with the bad habits, possibly around the audacity. Just for anyone that's new to the game, just explain a little bit about why that's different for the Joker than for any of the other crews if they've not yet come across it.
So the biggest thing with the Joker, as long as they have the trickster trait, which most of your Joker leader guys will have Chaos Agent, which then gives all your henchmen models trickster. You don't have to place an audacity on them in the at the beginning of the round. You essentially just make an audacity pool off to the side, and when they activate, you decide if they're going to take that audacity or not. it opens up a lot of freedom, and it's also kind of prevents your opponent from targeting models that have Audacity to shut down your action economy. You got any other thing to weigh in on that, Jason?
You're mostly just, I mean, you're still pre-planning, I guess, but you're not, I think it's step by step, so you don't really need to make sure you have a safe action, because again, whoever dies, as you already said, it's kind of it, you know? And second, it was mostly just, oh, I'm going into defense, and you already knew your plan. It just ate up time. Now it's more just, you don't necessarily have to think about that master plan.
Yeah, you still have to place them on sidekicks that don't have Trickster, or having to any of your free agents, they're always going to have an Audacity sitting on them.
Although usually, you know, as you said, they're always going to, if you're going out of way to take Harley.
Very true.
It's the preset that you're going to give it to her, and you're just playing with three Audacities for your rest of the crew. That's how I've always viewed it. But if it's like someone like Archie, probably not.
So we've touched on the crew being maybe a good one for beginners because of the way that the deck gets manipulated and the use of resources. Once you've sort of picked up the crew and started to play with it, is it a difficult crew to master to get to that top tier? You know, we talked about Batman being a relatively straightforward one for people to get in and to be good and competitive with. Does the Joker still sit with that, considering it's one of the two in the Back to Gotham starter?
I think it is at the beginning. So I think it's really easy with Joker to get up to a mid-tier level. But I think it takes a good 20, 30, 40, 50 games with him to get up to that super top tier. But, I mean, that's almost the same with any other crew, but I think him, there's like a level, and then there's like a giant spike if you want to get up to that super high level with him, just because of the your leader and free agent choices really matter. And their interactions with your henchmen, because your henchmen are usually weaker than most other people's henchmen, is very important.
The only other thing that would say they're a good crew is I was playing another game against someone playing OC for the first time, and that crew, even if you're doing everything right, it just doesn't quite feel like you're playing it right with Joker. Whatever you do, you're going to end up scoring points. You're going to have a good time. And that's really good for new players. They should have fun, even if they're not like totally understanding or memorizing the deck. Like, oh, whatever. I could. Again, it kind of goes back to the cycle. Like, you're going to have fun. Whatever you do, you're going to get rewarded for it. I mean, unless you sit in the deployment zone and refuse to activate models.
I feel like you're not punished for your mistakes so much. With Joker, you can play that loose game and just go, let's see what happens. I'm just, you know, the first suspect you drop down, you're like, hey, let's turn it into teeth and just see what happens. And to where, because you can score off of hitting your own models, it just bounces around. It's so true chaos in Joker fashion that you get away with a lot of those whoopsie daisies. And then you start to learn about those some more and you get to dial it in. And then those mistakes are easily rectified to where, like you said, in OC or some of the other crews like Riddler, you really have to think about placement. You have to think about when you're going to play cards. Timing is so much more important in other crews than it is with Joker.
So you touched on the scoring element there and like picking up the cards, and you can just sort of, we'll see what happens with them. And you mentioned obviously with a new card, the Psychopath coming in, his potential for 9 more points. Does the fact that he sort of brings the points values that the opponent's scoring down mean that he's going to be consistently outscoring them? You know, what's his sort of scoring threshold from the games that you've seen?
Really crew dependent. That's just kind of, I think that's the answer for every crew. But you definitely have that, since you can score a card almost doing anything, that freedom. You can really think about trying to cancel and stop the other person's deck. And obviously a lot of the cards we've not really touched on, except for one of our first episodes, they discard the opponent's card randomly. They might not necessarily get a pre-plan as much, but that could also help them, and you don't really have to wait up that. But, you know, if you're going against League, think about revealing their suspects as the primary and your deck is the secondary.
Yeah, I think I've seen the Joker win with like 12 or 15, 16 points. It's definitely doable, just because he can get in and mess with an opponent's plan. And kind of the same thing, even if he's just playing objectives and they don't score, they'll probably screw with the opponent just enough.
Yeah. And on top of that, with how easy a lot of his cards are to score, It frees up your free agent or your some of your henchmen to go out and actually do attacks, do other things that other crews are having to use their henchmen to score cards. You'll see that with Joker especially. Like, you can go and send biker henchmen to go kill somebody. You can send three or four of your henchmen out and just shoot weapons that turn, and you'll still be scoring cards left and right and center. So I think that also plays into it.
So with Joker, he's got one of the biggest choice ranges of leaders available outside Batman himself. So how important does the selection of leader actually influence the way that you're going to play the game, build your deck, and are there any particular leaders that you like or don't like?
For the most part, they all have very similar traits. Each one brings like their one thing, right? So you kind of just pick the flavor that you want. I kind of feel like they all kind of hang back. They just taunt your opponent and it's like, well, you kind of come to me. I'm going to spread out a little bit. I'm going to kind of control this area. And if you want to stop me, you have to come to me.
Yeah, it's pick your flavor. Let's be honest, no one's going to have a crew led by Harley, Gaggy, or Archie. So you're just discussing the Jokers, really. And you got, you know, from 60 to 125. Or no, 120. That's Jared Leto. So you got room to play around with it.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I think you can run a crew without Joker. I think the crew would be completely different than a lot of other things than a regular Joker crew. But I think you can run a Harley crew or an Archie crew pretty easy because of how cheap they are. And you just don't, you just play like everybody else with Audacity. It doesn't hurt you as much as you did last edition.
I mean, so now we got the new Joker. He is cheaper than every Harley option.
That's true.
I mean, Harley is better than the new Joker for sure. Just because you're double stun in threat range. But I always find she goes down. That's usually not what you want in boss. You kind of want to stick around for that 8-inch inspire. Archie could be interesting because you can never actually kill Archie.
No.
So it would be interesting. I've thought about it, but I think if you just want to get the most out of your deck, you're running Joker.
And even then, though, you take a Harley. I think the reason why Harley goes down so much is because she's not your boss. You play her pretty loose. The thing I'd be concerned about is the henchman not keeping up with her for the inspire. So if she's the one helping move your crew, she's hanging back and she's not doing what she normally would do. And I think that hurts you more. And it's still doable. I don't,
you
know.
You could run Archie and Harley.
I mean, the mallet Harley, I think, out of the starter box, I think is actually perfect to play by herself. Because what she does is something, she'll stay back. She'll be probably the last activation for the turn. Once the opponents come in and attack your henchmen, she goes in and 360 attacks two or three of them and pushes them away or knocks them out flat on their back. I think she's a good counterpiece, and she works that way for that crew instead of going out to a flank and doing her own thing by herself. If she's leaving the crew.
You could also just do that with, if you have a Joker in the crew. You could have her kind of as a defensive piece.
Yeah.
So, like, since we're really discussing it, the cheapest Joker is 60 points. Like, for 60 points, let's say the two bikers or three 20-point henchmen, is that the better route to go? You're still probably going to have about, like, I don't know, Joker, Harley, and let's say we're keeping an affiliation only. I think you'd easily get up to 10 models. I know I have, and I was taking one of the more expensive.
Oh, for sure. So you're talking, when you say the cheapest Joker, that's the new Cesar Romero Joker. Yep. Now, he only comes on the 30 mil base. So 30 millimeters versus the 60 millimeters, his Inspire bubble is a little bit smaller. And you're talking about a lot more models. So yeah. I just feel, but his willpower of 6, endurance 7, he's going down much faster. I feel you definitely have to bring more of the bodyguards, more of the protecting. Something that's like, hey, if you're going to come in to try to hit him, you're going to be trading models, and you don't care because you got enough smaller guys to do that. That seems to be a bit of the trade-off on that.
Too big of a deal. And he has charm, which is pretty nice. And a lot of crews do take, you know, good melee combat.
Yeah, so you're probably shooting him.
Yeah.
So with your bodyguard, you're surviving 2 shots if you're lucky. Well, maybe more because it's defense 4. But
and heck, if you're playing Cesar Romero, yeah, you're teching to a certain list, but there's free agents and characters that can help out on our body, like Polka Dot. I don't know if I'd take Polka Dot Man to keep Cesar Romero alive, because he really is just a 60 trickster, inspired, good model. And if someone wants to shoot at that, it's like, all right, unlike the other Jokers, he's not the backbone of my crew, you know?
Very true. And it's not like the tricksters go away. The tricksters stay there the whole game. So if you do happen to lose him, then you move that inspire bubble to somebody else.
Yeah. Heck, if you wanted to, you could run him in a Hush, and then Hush takes it and still have 8 inches.
That's a very good list right there. What other Jokers are you finding yourself leaning more towards taking more often?
So what do you guys think of Jared Leto as the most expensive of the Jokers? Because obviously in second edition, I think he was sort of looked at as being weak and purely because of his cost and what he didn't bring to the table. Where do you think he stands now?
I like him. His biggest downfall is he doesn't have Trickster, though. He gives it to the crew. Him himself is not a Trickster. He's very fair.
I like him.
He gives you some great options for henchmen, taking both Grin Twins. That's defense 4, sub 20 point models that have sensitized. Yes, that's nice. You know, he has Exhaustive Planer, which I think it plays great with the whole Joker trying to stop the opponent. If they're trying to get a cheeky resource, that's going to score a card, or just something that's going to mess up your plan, you just say no.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
I think he's worth his points.
Yeah. The baton's nice. He has True Love Harley Quinn, so if you wanted to play that,
that's where I was
running.
Yep, I was about to say, take your cheapest Harley and glass cannon her. Just blow her up the board, do as much damage, get as much points off of her as you can, let her die, and then by the time your Jared Leto gets into combat, you know, the double stun baton is a little bit better than reinforced gloves. It's got handy to it.
He's actually a little bit faster than most other Jokers as well.
And he brings Follow Me, so it can help the crew. And that speed is one of their issues, although they don't need it as much as other crews. And he also has Mobster, but you don't need to play with other Mobsters to get the benefits. So if you're on Harley, she dies, you attack 5. Going against Mobster, you're rolling 6 attack dice against someone that's minus 1 because they're outnumbered.
Yep. He does have Survivor. Not that you should rely on that, but I wouldn't be as concerned about keeping the bodyguard up there at all times. Just, you know, it's not bad. You still want that bodyguard, but I wouldn't stress it as much as I would with some of the other ones.
They have 2 bodyguards, and I mean, obviously they have the generic whatever matters to. For 20 points, he's good. Have you guys ever thought about taking the Buster because he has timely arrival? I've only thought about him with Harley because Harley's going to rocket up there, and then this guy's going to timely arrival. Kind of close to her.
Sorry, I had to look up timely arrival.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tough one with the bus driver. I think he's a really good model. The shotgun's pretty decent. It's, you know, kind of a delayed hidden. And the bodyguard's good, but you're saying that you would bring it to protect Harley? Or what? Why was the purpose of you rocketing Harley up there and then him popping up? You're saying as if Harley was your leader?
I was just saying if you rocket her up like early game, I mean, you can help kind of ensure she's around for the next round. Because most henchmen are not keeping up with Harley Quinn, but this guy could.
Gotcha.
Well, I've never really taken him because he's 300 funding, and I found my funding is a little tight.
Now, if you brought Leto because he brings you the extra 300 bucks, now he's free in a sense? I think that'd be a decent trade-off.
Yeah, it's an option. Although I usually, obviously, you know, I look at the bikers first. I think most of us do, especially biker one with his double stun or double blood, rate of fire 4, 2 ammo, assault, carbine on the bike. And then I'm a big fan of the DKR henchmen because they come with backpacks, so you can keep playing that canceling game.
Yeah, I found I never take all 3 bikes. Like you said, biker one is almost a shoe-in most of the time. And then the other 2 were more of, why am I bringing them? Is there a reason? Do I actually need them? Because a lot of times the answer is no, for me at least.
I've taken them. I've gotten use out of them. Usually just because they're faster than your speed's an issue. And you're kind of paying about 1.5 models for it. 2 really cheap ones if you want to think about it that way. But I feel like they're going to get more, you know, if you're still around that 9 to 10 model cap, I would rather upgrade someone into a bike.
So if you guys are starting to look at someone like the key henchman that you bring in, One of the questions that I've been asked in our sort of local group and by some of the UK players is, would you still be looking at taking a Joker henchman that came, for example, in the, I think it's the Joker's Party, but basically his old second edition Bat Box?
Yes.
Because they are, the Defense 2 seems like a really big penalty now in third edition compared to what it was in second edition, with the fact that everyone's rolling their full attack dice and efforting. So I heard a yes in there, but go on, just expand on that. Is there any particular ones you're taking, or is it just any of them?
I mean, Hobo Clown, I really like for 14 points. He's just cheap. Defense 2 is totally fine when you're just cheap. Obviously, Ace of Spades is probably the highlight there. He is a Defense 2. He has all the gas abilities, which, you know, open up the deck some more, because you can kill models under poison. If you can really poison a lot of the crew, that stuff multiplies. I wasn't playing it, but for the last league game, I was against Discourse. She, like, poisoned, I think, more than half my Riddler crew, and they had, like, poison being four on them by turn. Like, he just paid for himself. I couldn't get rid of the poison, and I just slowly died. I lost, like, three models from poison alone. Rasta Clown is an interesting pick, because I think his Assault Rifle is really good, getting plus one to hit. But I usually find he dies the soonest. But he's handy, man. So you could really just let him be on himself, and he's totally fine.
I think he's Ross the Clown isn't a shoo-in because of the 600, like you mentioned. His defense too sucks. He's going down the first time somebody takes a, you know, they blow on him. He's getting knocked over. But he doesn't have range. You poach him up. He's one of the few models that I would still poach up on a building in third edition, because normally that's not a thing anymore. Yeah, and with the rate of fire 3, you're fine wasting a shot into cover. You're fine wasting a shot into the darkness if there is no cover. He's just going to stand there and shoot and probably drop a poison fish and say, come deal with it.
Yeah, definitely. And I really like Dynamite. Dynamite's kind of that one-shot wonder. I don't know a better way to describe him. He is a little weaker than the 13 points because you're only defense 2, but you're 4-5 instead of 4-4. You have the axe.
But Taunt is... and boom. Taunt is disgusting.
Devastating.
Yeah, it's a devastating trait if it goes off. And yeah, if you just, you're like, hey, I'm going to run up, I'm going to taunt somebody, it's going to screw up all of their plans, and then he's hoping to just explode and take out another little henchman or something and mess with, again, more people's plans.
Yeah, I've always looked at it just like you go taunt, let's say your big free agent, your Batman or whatever. Try getting the damage in, say they're defense 5, they're now defense 3. You're handy. You're going to effort all the time because you might just die anyway. If you get them close to death, you explode and you hope you just take them up. That was 22 points. That's a trade. And you're happy with that.
Yep. Other than Borgon, which with the app, we should hopefully see a little bit of a tweak, likely gaining desensitized or something along those lines to make him playable again. Every model in that box is very useful. Anybody wanting the startup Joker beyond the new starter box, I would recommend going back and grabbing that Clown Party or whatever that box is called, his old Bat Box. I'd probably recommend that one over the Bikers and Archie box, over the Dark Knight box, just because it opens up a lot of options that play well with the new guys.
And we didn't bring it up, but Arkham Asylum Joker, I think he's one of my favorite Jokers. He's a little more on the pricey side at 105. But again, he brings the gas, like Ace of Spades. He has some cute special abilities. And he has a Protect Me, so you don't have to buy the bodyguard.
Oh, yeah. Love that. Oh, yeah. Love that card. His stat line's amazing. Not amazing, but his the traits that he brings, the remote-controlled teeth. He's just as chaotic as the deck is. he fits in really well with that.
The only other models is Whiteface and Nailgun guy. I think they're okay. I've never tried fitting them in a list just because I feel like those roles can be filled out by other models, but I also don't think they're bad in any.
Yeah, you also have Buffon.
Yeah, he's the Nailgun guy.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't think of Buffon.
Buffon.
Does he have cover? Like, he does. He does. So, like, he can kind of help with the speed. A lot of your guys are movement 8, so him starting inches up is nice, and OCD is going to help his accuracy.
Yeah.
Kind of just counterbalances Assault right there.
So we've talked about Harley as a sidekick. Are you still taking Gaggy?
when the app fixes him.
Oh, poor Gaggy.
Wait for that. I actually have played Gaggy.
Five special traits?
Yeah. We can kind of announce that that is getting fixed. That is getting a tweak. He should be playable. I kept telling the KM guys that the whatever tweaks and fixes to Gaggy should kind of be the poster boy for launching the app, showing this is what we can now do to make older models playable again. Because Gaggy's been one of the worst transitions to third edition. So if they can show, hey, look, the worst transition is now fully playable and he's a fun model again, I think it gives people a lot of hope moving forward.
Definitely. I have played him. I don't know if Ian, have you played him in third? Obviously, you have to talk about your opponent. Hey, how the heck do templates work in combat for this game? Let's just see if they work this way. I usually was always using Gash Jumper. Didn't really get to use 360 Strike or anything like that. But I thought it worked fine for 7 points less than Harley, though. I would not have a competitive game, but he worked fine.
So, outside of his key specific, like his keyword, if you want to use that as a way of describing it, henchmen, what about what we call like the D-listers? You know, because these are the things that we weren't able to talk about with Batman and the non-Batman-led crews. But with Joker, you've got the option of taking all of the weird and wacky characters that we've got, like Polka Dot Man, Eraser, Kite Man. There's that many of them. I could spend 10 minutes listing them all now. Are there any of those that stand out for you as being really, really valuable to a Joker crew?
You go first. I know you've played a few.
So, any of them, I think, will change the crew. I mean, whenever I played them, it was Condiment King wasn't even out yet and all the other ones. I think back before the three-point objective, they were very important because they gave you a 2 or 3 point objective into the deck to help score. I don't think that is as necessary as it was, but I'd still think that finding the points for one or two of them that fit whatever play style you're trying to do, I think works. Kite Man's really good at scoring objectives. Calendar Man, same thing. Can also be a backup beater, and everyone else. I mean, they all have their own little play styles and things like that I think are good. This is also one of the first crews I think Clock King is actually pretty good with, due to his time bomb and helping slow down the opponent. I think is actually a pretty important ability. Don't play Psycho Pirate. I tried it. It didn't work. but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, any of them are good. I mean, I'm going to try not bringing out Calendar Man for every crew because I really do think he's just stupidly good. Well, I mean, not stupidly good, but for his points, he brings everything you could want and a little more. He is kind of my fit-in if I don't want to tech into something. Condiment King, I think, stands out a lot for Joker because you already are dealing effects and just more ways to do that. And the opponent can't score cards from him, which is just cute. That's all I can really say from it. You know, I think I've had a few times where it's like someone comes, like, oh, score something. It's like, nah, I'm Condiment King. No one's scoring from me. Is there anybody else? I really like Killer Moth with Joker. I think he's good with anybody, but, you know, he slows people down. It's just a good model. But, yeah, I don't know, man. They're all good. I wouldn't worry too much about Polka Dot Man.
I think there's a place for Eraser, though. The new one?
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a second. But Polka Dot Man, I wouldn't worry just because you don't really have any models that you desperately need to keep around, I think.
That's what I was thinking. He has a place with, like you said, maybe the cheaper Jokers. But at the end of the day, do you really care to keep them around? Probably not.
Yeah.
You almost want all your models to die because then you're scoring your cards.
If anything, I would kind of worry more about like keeping Biker 1 alive just to get all my shots off. Maybe he can keep doing that. Or if I was playing like Harley to keep up, maybe. But then I'm taking a 40-point model to help keep around. I'm like, well, at that point, you know.
I would do it if I was taking Harley as my boss.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But going into Eraser, he's the new model out. Came out with the OC. I think he's kind of, I don't want to say he's everyone's least favorite D-lister, but stat-wise, I feel like people are a little less excited. He has an amazing trait, so it balances out. But I was talking about taking him with Clock King and the new Cesar Romero Joker. and then you use Clock King's resource card to kind of like teleport him back. So you just get real aggro, steal someone's trait, and then you teleport back to safety. Depending on where you started, like you could just sit in your deployment zone for all game.
That's what he's supposed to do.
Inspire. Yeah, but other crews, well, any crew has access to Clock King. But I think Joker can do it and still have a lot of his eggs in normal baskets. It's only 95 points for that little combo. I'm not sure if it's actually worth it. But that's like Bronze Tiger territory. But it could be huge.
Well, I think the thing that most impressed me with Eraser was the talk of people using him against Big Bang Theory to remove their Big Bang trait so you can actually kill them. I just like the idea of deleting Sheldon Cooper from the table.
We're good.
Yeah, that's... We don't talk about
it. You'll never see it because no one... I mean, I have played against them one time. Other than that, no one's going to play them.
Yeah,
my local TO Lance, he bought the crew just so he had. He's like, look, if we ever have that odd number of players in a tournament and someone has to play the TO, he's giving them the full bat match points anyways, and he's gonna bring the big bang for that. That's the level of seriousness that crew sits at. They're not a real thing.
I feel like one day someone needs to take a building gate and try.
So moving on the ridiculousness that's the Big Bang, what about free agents? Because you've touched on them potentially with the cheaper jokers like Cesar Romero. Are there any that, again, stand out as being particularly useful? Do you bring the free agent Harley, for example?
Free agent Harley is triple stun. I like her a lot, but I kind of think the sidekick Harley is just about as much because she has to strike and then no one's operating. But, you know... Basically the same package, just slightly different, specialty. Hush, I've already mentioned him. I mentioned him with a cheap Joker in mind, but I've definitely thought about him with Leto Joker, of double exhaustive flames. And also
you're
with Leto
Bob Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've kind of liked the idea of Clayface to just say, hey, my Joker's always going to be around. He's always going to harass you. You could try to go after him, but Clayface is going to get in the way. So it just leaves Joker to do pretty much whatever he wants.
So we were talking about stopping the opponent, and the only model, the first model that comes to my mind is Solomon Grundy. Is there a role for Grundy in Joker?
Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of the chattering teeth, no one's going to... Because doesn't he still stop people from interacting with suspects?
Yeah, enemy models cannot make manipulate actions within 4 inches of Grundy.
So the teeth, you're just shooting the teeth over towards Grundy, letting them hit him because you don't care. So you're, again, he's in a sense helping you score that deck. Nobody's pulling fish. Nobody's stopping the teeth. And you're bombing your own Grundy because you don't care.
Yeah. Anyone else? Mad Hatter, I like a lot. Although now you have the new D-lister. That kind of fits a similar role with Crazy Quill.
Yeah.
So, either way.
I really like Deadshot as a ranged option if you feel like you need a gun. I still really like him to delete a model. That's a problem.
At the end of the day, though, usually I'm only taking free agent or a sidekick, and usually Harley's just kind of better, or at least more thematic in my book, so I just stick with her.
What about Ratcatcher, since he actually can get the poison out?
He has a hard time getting the poison out, I'm going to be honest. Like, I don't view him that way. I view him as that's four models that are just designed to stop anything they can actually stop.
Because I'm also looking, you're sacrificing the rats for the teeth. It's not a bad thing. Like you said, he's cheap. It's four more models.
I thought you thought it was annoying as heck. So
that's what I mean. I think Ratcatcher actually has a pretty good chance in the Joker crew to where he doesn't stand up as strong compared to the other free agents like he used to when it comes to most of the other crews. Like, I don't see you taking Ratcatcher in a handful of these other guys. You're not taking him in Birds. You're not taking him in Riddler.
I've thought about him, and I've never thought with him in Riddler, but Two-Face, Soldiers, Penguin.
Penguin would be good.
Thought of him with. And heck, I actually did thought about him with Birds, like an Ivy Bird list, just because you do have that nest card. He could just sit there with his rats. I mean, for 50 points, you've almost guaranteed yourself 9%. It's not great. I think they have ways to do that others don't, like the Gamble. It's kind of why I thought about there. All of Penguin deck need them, but we're not talking about today. But Yeah, I think he shines a little brighter in some crews, but definitely one.
Yeah, so that gives us kind of a good idea about some of the options. You know, we touched on some of the key models that you're taking outside of your lead, some of the free agents and sidekicks that you might want to look at. But overall, I think the Joker crew sounds like one that you're getting a good way to start to learn the game, although it's not necessarily teaching you the best habits with the Audacity tokens. You've got a good deck that to learn how to play resources and to score with. And more importantly than anything else, you're just going to have fun with it on the table. Would you guys agree with that summary?
I'm curious about one more model. The Frank Miller Joker stuff. I've never seen him on table. I think Frank Miller seems just a little better than Caesar. His henchmen, though. You guys ever going to take him?
I have thought about it multiple times as a bomb might flip with red hood Joker as just blowing things up everywhere. I have never ran it. I don't know if it's good. I don't know.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think you need to take that Joker to utilize his bots. I think they actually work better with some of the other guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, the aesthetic pains me when I see it. So for me, as good as they might be, or if they have a use, I've never really looked at them just purely because of that.
I don't think they're great, but I was just, as I remember, I kept saying, oh, helps the speed problem. Like, oh, wait, all these guys have fly. Like, sure, they're weak. They're defense too, but they all have fly. Like, you could just move 16 inches and do whatever. And they all have, like, some sort of...
And they auto-wake up to their bot. So, I mean, they're... Yeah.
So that is every Joker release we've talked about now. So, there you go, guys. Viewed them all.
Just end it there.
Yeah. I was looking at the app. I was like, wait a minute, why are they with the free agents?
We didn't cover Bud and Lou.
They're not as great with the suspect game. You don't need to really worry about them so much anymore.
Yeah,
I was thinking they
fly and they actually get that early teeth like more than halfway up the table. There's no other henchmen with trickster. I mean, with super play and the bikes maybe.
I'd run one of the dogs up and then use the Dark Knight Joker to blow them up.
Oh yeah, do it that way.
So hopefully that gives you guys a nice idea about the Joker crew, and thanks to the guys for their insights on the key models that they look at, free agents, sidekicks and henchmen, and let us know what your experiences with the crew are. Hopefully we'll be moving on to talk about the other crews, and next up's going to be Riddler, and we're going to keep up this schedule of trying to release an episode every 2 weeks. But for the moment, this is the Arkham Case Files, where the inmates run the asylum.
Peace.
Bye.